Like every few hours it happens. Explosions at oil refineries all over the world, definitely off the chart, definitely a bunch of it's being staged, being done on purpose. Explosion tears through Salina Cruz refinery in Mexico. Explosions in Louisiana, Oklahoma in the last few days. Refineries blowing up. I mean, this is getting crazy. That's coming up. But let me do a brief breakdown here. And then after Victor Boot leaves us in an hour, I'm going to get do a deep dive on this. Okay? There is no doubt from the way the Hunter virus was rolled out and the way they hyped up this ship, and then suddenly there were cases and deaths all over the world of this same strain of Hunter virus that's new. Now they're saying it's mutated again. And all they got to do is point a PCR test at somebody that's died and set it to that and turn it up and claim that falsely. That's what they did with COVID 6 years ago. So the propaganda, all the things they've said and done, the UN, World Health Organization head a few days ago saying, you better give us our global treaty, you better take all our shots, you better apologize to us. They have launched their new COVID 2.0. And then magically, as I predicted, there's suddenly all these new deaths from this same strain of Hunter virus in different parts of the world that have nothing to do with the ship. First suspected Generation 3 Hunter virus cases, an Italian who sat alongside a woman on Dutch KLM flight before she died developed symptoms amid fears virus has mutated. Oh, weaponized, gain of function. And the big vaccine makers 2 years ago started multiple companies making their new vaccines that are just now ready magically. Wow. Dutch hospital worker forced to quarantine after possible Hunter virus exposure due to PPE failure. Wow. Whoa, we need new lockdowns. Oh, put your mask back on, the EU says. Hunter virus latest. We don't know, the virus is mutated, says France. It may have mutated. Look at the Drudge report. As Hunter virus cases rise, U.S. officials say risk very low. Remember, we heard that in 2020 when they were the ones actually getting ready to roll out the lockdowns. So they say it's no big deal, so they look legitimate later when they say, oh, it is a big deal. And it goes on from there. So this is a big deal. Here's Tedros saying, we don't know if there'll be more cases yesterday because they already knew. They're just going to falsely report people that died in motorcycle accidents or heart attacks or cancer like COVID is Hunter virus and put out the false reports. They did it before. They're clearly doing it again. This is their cover for the crashing world economy over the Strait of Hormuz. Here's Tedros, the criminal.
On more cases, as I said it in my speech, we would expect more cases because, as you may remember, the index case, the first case in the ship was on April 6th. And until the report was confirmed as infectious, that's around April 24 or 25, there was a lot of interaction actually with the passengers. And as you know, the incubation period is also 6 to 8 weeks. So because of the interaction while they were still in the ship, especially before they started taking some infectious prevention measures, because of the interaction, we would expect more cases because of some of what happened during the travel, actually, until hopefully the interaction until April 30th. After that, of course, they have improved.
Yeah, they're getting measures. Positives in Australia and positives in New Zealand and positives in the UK and Israel and Singapore with no connection to that ship. Now you know the fix is in. Get ready, folks, and don't go along with their hype. I need to be able to stay on air. We had a massive effect exposing their COVID rollout, and we're key globally in warning the public, teaching people real things that protected you, and getting the lockdowns and fraud to stop. The enemy's back. We need to stay on air. You are the Paul Revere's. Your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support would make it easy to support us because the products are amazing. I only sell you things that really work, so you get it and it blows you away. It's so good and you want to get it again and again and again. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have a flash sale that's going for 48 hours that launched last night that runs until tomorrow evening, Tuesday night at midnight. Buy one Shilajit gummies, amazing, huge bottle of them, and get one Shilajit gummies free. Buy one Ultimate Creatine, the highest quality creatine out there, private label, the top brand in the U.S., and get another Ultimate Creatine free. That is a massive deal. Now, if you don't know what Shilajit is, it's not all equal. Mainly out of the Himalayas, but it's also in some other mountain ranges. We'll have an earthquake, and then it's just this million-year-old...
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. It's Alex Jones.
When you study geopolitics and the globalists, you know what they're planning next. You don't know exactly when they're going to launch, what particular card they've got, but you know the cards they've got. It's like a football team when Belichick at the Patriots used to go in and, you know, steal the other team's playbook. He's got the playbook. He knows the formations. He's not exactly sure what play they're about to play, but as soon as they go into formation, he starts doing his hand signals because he knows what the play is going to be. And so, yeah, I've stolen the enemy playbook, but I only know right when they go into formation what it's going to be. I don't know what the coach is going to call, but I know the formation. This Hunta virus has staged a new pandemic, global power grab distraction. The Strait of Hormuz is closed, 70-plus days, inflation exploding. Trump completely cornered. The globalist above it, so happy, global recession, depression. You have German Chancellor Friedrich Merz saying the EU is a, quote, complete failure in panic mode. All their operations, their unelected bureaucracy, their war with Russia. What is that statement in front of them at the World Economic Forum? You see, don't take the globalist lashing out and doing all of this as a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. But don't take that as a way, you know, lay back. Like the wolf says in Pulp Fiction, that's what makes them so dangerous, is that they're cornered. And now Trump's running off to China with Elon Musk trying to impress them with that, because Elon's, you know, a big celebrity over there like he is here, but even bigger there. You got the World Jewish Congress saying it's us against the world, we're going to censor everybody, and all of this craziness. How did Israel put itself in the middle of all of this? It is insane. And now you got the Houthis firing drones at Israel. You got shadow wars. IRGC operatives tried to infiltrate Kuwait. Firefight ensues. You got every few hours a giant oil refinery in the West blows up. Two in the last 2 days in the U.S., the latest Tulsa. I don't know how many of these are staged, but some of them are, because I looked the numbers up. I asked ChatGPT. It's like 10 times the average oil refineries are blowing up in the West. You think the Easter Bunny's doing that? You think a leprechaun is doing that? We are in world war, whatever you want to call it. We are in a new world war. Don't lie to yourself about it. And now the train is off the tracks. It was a runaway train before, and the inflation has come in. It's worse than the economists I had on. So usually I'm right, but when I'm wrong, it's almost always worse than I thought. Massive inflation, stocks fall, oil fears, rates rise as inflation roars back. U.S. consumer prices are rising at their fastest pace since the worst under Biden. And this was all baked in. We knew this would happen. As Trump dismisses Iran truce plan, world braces for lasting economic pain. Iran says forces ready to respond to attacks as Trump reportedly mulls renewing war. Australia doomsday scenario sees oil at $200 a barrel on war escalation. It goes on and on and on. And at the center of this, if you want to end the war, the World Jewish Congress has said they're the policemen, and they run all these ADL groups of the different nations, and they say we're going to censor you and we're going to shut you down. Wow, that's great, Israel. You've now inserted yourself into all this to be the villain. Napoleon said, don't interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake and destroying themselves. I'm not Israel's enemy. I don't want to see Israel destroyed. Plus, they got a bunch of nuclear weapons. They'll do the Samson option. When you look at the second, third, fourth order events to all this, as Victor Boot said months ago and 2 weeks ago and last week, we're up to the line. There's not much time to turn this back. And already on the economy, it's baked in. Already Trump's recovery screwed. Already we were on the verge of collapse, which the globalists want. This is a disaster because the old globalist order is coming to an end. Like Elon said at the World Government Summit 2 years ago in Dubai. He said, look, I know we're at the end of an old cycle. And I know normally when you have all these empires in history, we'll have a big war to reset. He goes, we can't do that with 10 billion people and all these weapons. And you and as the ultra-rich elite, we keep consolidating wealth. We've got to help the average person or we'll live in a dystopia. We have to empower the people. We have to innovate out of this. And we have to stop these wars. And we have to be honest about this. We have to start having children. They told him, go to hell. So now, basically, we've chosen at the fork in the road the wrong way. Now, we've walked about 100 yards away. Maybe we turn back. Maybe we get back to the fork and take the right road. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what I really think here. I'm not going to blow smoke on you, okay? All right, Victor Boot joins us. He came on last week. We took a few calls. I think we should do it again today. I'll go to him a little bit earlier. It was very informative. One guy called in and really melted down, became international headlines, claiming that Russia has lost the Ukraine war when all the analysts admit it's the other way around. And we now have the German chancellor admitting that. And it's a total disaster and the EU is sinking. And their hope was to take over Russia and break it in five parts. That's the official plan of the commission to shore themselves up. You talk about delusions of grandeur. The only way Russia is defeated is we all die. It's called a Mexican standoff. That's why no other president would do this. That's why no other president would attack Iran. That's why, because we have the war games. So we'll get to that first here in a moment. But Victor, that's a long intro. Great to have you back here. Real Victor Boot on X. You're getting a lot of followers there. People should follow you at Real Victor Boot. Boot is B-O-U-T. You just heard my big five-minute breakdown. Where do you want to go first? What do you want to say about this? Because this is just crazy. You have the EU heads on Victory Day, 81 years after we won World War II, 90% of the casualties on the German and Russian side, not even giving Russia credit for liberating Germany and liberating Berlin. I mean, this is amazing. But they'll give standing ovations to SS officers that actually ran atrocities a few years ago at the Canadian Parliament. I mean, this is cuckoo town, and it just shows the mindset here on so many levels. So, Victor, good to have you here with us. Victor, where would you like to... Yep. Can you hear my audio, Victor?
Yeah. Now it's fine. There is some freeze in the internet every time we connect.
Sure.
I think...
Go ahead.
Somebody trying to sabotage it. So listen, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a, cuckoo clock town, whatever you name it. But at least, you know, good thing in this situation, at least all the mask is off. Now, Europe not anymore pretending they are the Democrats. They are looking for the peace, prosperity, for the human rights. Now we know their real face, and it's real face exactly the same like it used to be 81 years ago. It's naked fascism. It's naked Nazism. And look, Germany now put officially, you know, this program where you can search your ancestors who serve in which division of SS or Gestapo. What kind of the, you know, the situation is. And think of this. Germany was the source of the two world wars. And now they're looking to get their army the biggest in Europe. And they're definitely deciding, well, heck with all the, you know, limitations. We're going to go again for revenge.
Well, then there is only solution eventually to wipe off the Germany from the map, because, you know, if they every time, every at least once every 80 years will cause a global war, why we need this country, you know, in the world? This is number one. And they openly now pushing for the militarization. They are trying to, again, put the compulsory military service and the draft in the country. Now their youngsters cannot leave Germany without being registered with the Ministry of Defense. And this is a really, really going beyond the lines. Plus all these rhetorics, especially when the Pistorius coming to the, you know, Ukraine in the surprise visit and trying to bluff, hey, hey, you know, you will win, you will win. Let's go, we are preparing, we are with you. And this is a absolutely unacceptable. And it's on, not only threat to Russia, but it's basically threat to the entire world. This is number one. Second one, we know perfectly well that Ukraine long time ago was torn into this a test ground. And I just recently saw very interesting information. So Zelensky recently, so-called, you know, president of so-called Ukraine, wrote recently that he met again with Alex Karp of the Palantir. Think of this situation. To add to everything you just said about global lockdown, about shortage of the, you know, foodstuff, about the energy lockdown, about, you know, these new viruses they're trying to put. Add on this that basically Ukrainian conflict was very well planned for at least 20 years ago. And now, and it started with the Obama administration, then the Biden administration. Trump really didn't understand in the first term what to do and just keep kicking the can down the road. And now we know that the Palantir used this perfect opportunity really to make an AI for the combat situation. And even on his, you know, speech in Davos last year, he admitted that the since they provided these models to Ukrainians, Ukrainians filled up with their own data, and now even Palantir doesn't know what it's doing. And this is what Ukrainians trying to use as their aces and their, you know, cards to play and saying, yes, we have the a very capable army. But remember, ideology of this is a Nazism. And we know how this ends up with a massive concentration camp, with a genocide, with a complete disaster and complete dystopian future.
And you have all these wars breaking out with the virus being rolled out, definitely a power grab. You add all this together. Why do you think the German chancellor, while he's pushing for war, has come out and called the EU a complete failure in front of them? I mean, I guess he's sort of rallying calls that is their last chance is total war.
Yes, because look, if you committed economical suicide and by your own hands destroy your own, you know, powerhouse of the German machinery building, German automotive industry, you decided that by political reason you don't need a reliable and cheap Russian energy. So let's screw up everything in Germany. So what is left? That you now Germany have at least up to 20% foreign-born population. So the only way to keep power, to keep control, is to put a country into the endless war, where then you can declare emergency and eventually rule. Look, we know the ratings of the German chancellor and the French president is below even 20 or 15%. So what we are talking
about? And Keir Starmer is having a no-confidence vote today. Could be removed as early as today. He's refusing to leave, but let me read this. This is breaking right now that they are set to try to remove him today, his own party.
Correct. They lost with a big way, you know, the Labour lost that election. But as you said, don't underestimate the globalists. Yes, they are on the panic mode. Yes, on this, but they still can, you know, create a trouble for everybody. And it's very, very difficult time because for them, idea is to start finally global. What the best scenario? Right now, when the Trump left or he's on the way to the China visit, you know, at least we have a certain pause in Iranian, you know, action. So he can't really give the orders while he will be in Beijing again to attack Iran. And definitely Chinese will not like that idea. We know that the United States and China has a lot of issues, and eventually it's not only trade issues, but it's even going deeper into certain economical interdependence. It's not difficult now to cut and split the two, you know. I remember very well when I first time heard the term Chimerica, which was very funny initially. But if you think deeply, that's really, you know, interdependent, I would say, economical system. So now Trump has a very difficult choice. If he continue where he is, as you said, definitely there is would be very severe consequences, we know, for all fronts, not only the energy. We're talking about foodstuff. We're talking about production lines. We're talking about inflation. We're talking about anything else, because the energy is a source and everything derives from that. So what is the possible plans? What his negotiation position with the Chinese? Either they can figure out the new system, at least between China and United States, because remember, everything happening in Hormuz Strait or with Iran is just an attempt to set up a stronger negotiation position in this visit to Iran, because Iran was a major supplier of its crude to the China. So Trump thought that he would arrive to Beijing with a very strong position, where he already did the regime change in Tehran, you know, cut off all supplies to China and eventually force China to back off and accept the Trump conditions. Unfortunately, it turns out opposite. So Iranians are putting their own conditions. Plus, he has a strong pushback from the Israelis, Prime Minister Netanyahu, to continue that war. So it would be very interesting to watch what would be the result and what would be entire, I would say, you know, choreography, how this visit will turns out in Beijing in the next, you know, day or so.
You're right. In fact, that should have been my first question. This visit, Xi Jinping holds most of the cards now. Before this is Israel sparked war, Trump holds a lot of cards. That's why Trump's bringing Elon and a bunch of others with him. I don't know what Trump thinks he's going to negotiate when now you have China, Russia, Iran, and others all in a posture of every time we try to make a deal, you violate the deal. Trump said Iran violates deals. That's not the case. They lure them to peace deals, kill them. They break every deal. When they make a ceasefire, Israel attacks to break the ceasefire. I'm not siding with the Iranians. I'm just siding with reality. And now Trump can't even say what the mission is. It's regime change that's failed. He keeps saying we sunk their boats. That's not even a blue water navy. They have successfully shut down the strait, as the Pentagon said they would. And Trump cannot admit he's wrong and pull himself out of this. So as this continues on, already devastating the economy, and as the public learns of it, we lose the midterms. The Democrats impeach Trump. I mean, he has walked himself and this country into a disaster.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, what is the chances he can extract himself? As you said, he turned return to this fork point. But, you know, he also been sabotaged just before he left for this Beijing visit. We know that the Washington Post, you know, posted this information and about all Iranians kept about 75% of its missile launchers, and they have a pretty much intact the rest of their production. So basically, it says that nothing, accordingly, their own American sources and leaks from intelligence, you know, nothing was achieved in this, you know, 60 days almost plus.
And reportedly, and I talked to people that confirm it, he blew up and then literally demanded the meeting that he wants everyone involved indicted to the head of the DOJ, Todd Blanche, the Democrat operative. But he has to understand, it is his own generals that are leaking this to get him to stop. So it's right. Susie Wiles over a month ago, who's not a dove. She said, we've got to stop this. So he's literally not listening to anybody but Netanyahu.
Yes. And you said, you know, the tension is even growing further. You know, after the just today, Russia announced that they successfully tested the Sarmat missiles, which can, you know, four times has a longer range than any of existing ICBMs. And this is again, okay, you know, you guys start with the threatening rhetorics that the you can launch, attacks deep inside Russia. Well, this is an answer. You want this? We can, you know, try to use this in combat, you know, situation. And this time, believe me, it wouldn't be a target within Ukraine. I think so. And we are really now very close to this escalation point where there is would be no return. And doesn't matter what you do afterwards or which negotiators you're going to send to Russia, it would be too late. And that's my concern, as well as a concern of many others who are watching very carefully what's going on. So somebody need really to, at least put a cold shower on those hot, hawkers and those warmongers in the West, especially in London and especially in Berlin, to say, hey, guys, are you really want to try how it looks all out war with Russia?
Let me ask you this question. Putin said 2 days ago that the Ukraine war will soon come to an end. He hasn't really said that before. And generally, when he says something, he means it. What's the calculus there? Why do you think Putin said that?
Well, first of all, there is a severe scenario. First of all, if we saw the Russian military decided not even to explain any equipment on this parade, was only the personnel. Why? Because they're really preparing for the eventually, final assault on Ukrainian position. But this time it must be massive to do the push to finish it, Well, it's not only Ukrainians. Basically, Ukrainians has nothing to do with this. And, President Putin, during his presser, said that, look, Ukrainians agreed to all proposal, even to give up Donbass territory still in the spring of 2022. But then Boris Johnson came and said, no, you're going to fight further. So this is a situation, and he also mentioned that when Macron called him to say, oh, Ukraine cannot negotiate with a handgun to his head, so you need to withdraw his troops from Kiev, from the capital. So the president says, yes, we took a decision, we withdrew our troops, and then they flip over again. So we already exhausted all trust, we already exhausted all normal tradition and the way how you deal or negotiate even with the enemies. So since the all tables are turned out, what left, just...
So that's what I figured, and I believe you, as you're well-connected to smart military man. When Putin said it's going to end soon, he's signaling an escalation, which I would imagine if you look at World War II tactics at the end of the day, it's still boots on the ground. You just lower the artillery down, roll forward, destroy everything, and so the artillery
Well, the situation that kinetic war, especially what is the problem in the front line, your gray kill zone is quite wide and it's over 70 kilometers, basically 20 miles. So it's very difficult to move your troops conventional way. So this time we're talking about massive, missiles and the drone strike in the, important key centers, the command post, the infrastructure in Kiev, eventually logistic hubs somewhere in near Europe. And it must be overwhelming one-time blow, which definitely will at least...
You're talking about decapitation. You're talking about leveling all the command centers that haven't even been hit yet. Let's come back and talk about what this assault will look like and what will NATO do in response to that. You have the Spanish government, the German government saying form an EU army. What does that mean? Then we'll shift gears in the Strait of Hormuz and the economy and take your calls. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Stay with us. We'll take your phone calls. Give the number out when we come back. Stay with us.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee. And it even could be contributing to shrinking pee sizes. I am talking about micro pee becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro pee chemical is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it. We didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the basically the Illuminati. This is, it's, so you literally have, so remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f? It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think, was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying, not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Products at thealexjonesstore.com own and fund this network. They have to get the money to do this. That's why they can't shut us down. I don't own this. I'm on the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com. Bigly does. It takes a lot of funds to run this. They're building new, bigger studios. We got legal defense, legal offense, all of it. You want this to continue. Hardcore analysis the bad guys hate. You see all the trouble they go through trying to shut us down. We need your support. We the people. People power. Now, people wanted it. We have methylene blue gummies. And it turns out they make them even stronger the way they concentrate it, where this is way stronger than a regular dose of the methylene blue. If you are a subscriber, you get 58% off. You cancel subscription anytime. It just locks you in at 58% off any future order in your profile. But it's already super discounted, even if you don't do that. Mental clarity, cellular energy, mitochondrial function, cognitive performance, memory, mood, and motivation, antioxidant defense, skips oxidation process of the cells. It is the missing link. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. New ultramethylene blue gummies. The first run is here, but it's selling out quickly. Get yours now and fund the operation at thealexjonesstore.com.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So I've already stated this at the start of this hour, I'll say it again. The old globalist system is coming to an end. They need war, economic collapse, and viruses. That's in the UN battle plans that Lou Dobbs and Judicial Watch sued in 2007 and got, how they would use war, viruses, migrant flows, economic collapse, bringing total control. And so you have the unelected EU commission that says they want total war with Russia, and that's their business plan. They refuse to give up. You have these incredibly unpopular people like Starmer and Merz and Macron, who are, you know, below 20 points in all the polls, but they refuse to leave because of the way they can parliamentarily manipulate things. And they're just doubling down with war, just like Netanyahu, convicted, indicted. He has to stay in power with a war. It's never going to end. So you have a bunch of cornered rats using total war for control, starting all these wars. Now the strait's been closed for 70-something days. The economy's falling apart. Trump's recovery has been screwed. And here's German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, since I mentioned it, called the EU a complete failure in front of a global elite by stating, Germany and Europe have wasted incredible potential. We have become the world champion of overregulation and zero growth. Well, you're the ones that cut off the energy. You're the ones that do all this. So their instincts crush their own people to control them and then wonder why they don't have any power. And now let's go start another bigger fight with Russia. But you heard what Victor Boot said. I want him to elaborate on this. 4+ years into this war, the Russians have talked about actually hitting governmental targets, what that would look like, what he thinks the time frame is. But I want to take a few calls for Victor Boot. We had a guy call in last week, getting his face. That was very interesting and informative. We don't screen your calls, just your name and where you're calling from. We got a clear phone line, but you can also ask serious questions for Victor. Very interesting. We should have taken more calls in the past. So let's put the number on screen for TV viewers, and I'll give that number out for radio listeners. It's 512-266-0642. If you're calling into the U.S. country code, if you're outside the U.S., foreign calls are welcome. We're all over the world. 512-266-0624. This obviously affects everybody on the face of the planet. 512-266-0642 is the number to join us. We'll load those phones up. But here is the German chancellor.
We are aware of those problems. Both Germany and Europe have wasted incredible potential for growth in recent years by dragging feet on reforms and unnecessarily and excessively curtailing entrepreneurial freedoms and personal responsibility. We are going to change that now. Security and predictability take precedence over excessive regulation and misplaced perfection. We must reduce bureaucracy substantially in Europe. The single market was once created to form the most competitive economic area in the world. But instead, we have become the world champion of overregulation. That has to end.
So this is a very oxymoronic, paradoxical, schizophrenic thing. It took an hour to go over everything Germany's done. He still supports the carbon taxes. They supported the U.S. NATO blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. They've shut off their nuclear reactors. And then he claims, oh, we're going to be entrepreneurial now. What is this? What do you make of this?
Well, look, we know now very well that the default setting of the European, you know, regime, it's going back to Nazism. Because, look, as soon as the economy is really sinking, because their elites themselves create such scenario, so this is a very easy way for them, you know, to blame the, you know, somebody else. Well, and Russia always happened to be the best boogeyman. So he now trying to say, well, it was a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of regulation. But guess who started first introducing them? Guess who was first making it possible for the businesses to thrive in this environment? And, you know, the Germany suffered for the past 5 years the hugest drops and bankruptcy wave, which is a huge number of their huge chunk of economy was just gone out, you know, because they can't anymore, you know, make any business. Where your energy prices are stupidly high, your taxes are stupidly high, you can't operate anymore normal. So what are you going to do? There is no any more accessible and normal energy. So you can use this for your production to continue to be a world-class technological super, you know, industrial power. It's not happening, and they did it by themselves. So his attempt on this Davos Forum, which is a basically globalist club where they're discussing what they're going to do with the human population in the next, you know, year or two, was obvious. But this is maybe not the worst scenario. The worst scenario, as you mentioned, the globalists deciding this is their last chance, and they eventually throwing everything. They're trying to create a perfect storm where they would combine not only pandemic, a world war, energy crisis, food crisis, you know, lack of the necessary raw material or the precursors for different industries. And on top of this, to destroy all the logistic and the global, you know, trade. That it's a perfect scenario where they can eventually achieve their reset. And then they will say, okay, we couldn't win you in the long term, but, you know, we succeeded to screw everything up. In this case, since the population of this globe is basically way, way more outnumbering these globalists. We need really all united to, you know, rise against them and said enough is enough. That's only solution I see and only future if we want to keep this civilization going on, if we don't want to wake up in the nuclear disaster which would erase our civilization and return us back to the Stone Age, we need definitely to do something against this globalist together.
I agree. Before we take a few calls, let's go back to Putin saying the war will soon be over. And I read that as Russia's about to escalate. I know that Russia has been mass producing heavy drones, other weapons, three times the production of artillery shells of all of NATO and the U.S., and is positioned for a major offensive. It would not just be targeting energy and troops by sight, but would be, you know, the scorched earth type thing like Russia did when it counterstruck into Germany to end World War II. Clearly, that's going to be a big deal. How do you expect? What's the timetable? Not anything secret or anything. I know you're not read into that, but just as a military expert and, you know, successful guy that has a lot of general knowledge, the time frame would be and what that would look like and what do you think NATO is going to do? Because I know Russia needs to move at some point, which is what happened, but NATO is trying to build their new EU army. So the longer Russia waits, you're then waiting for their next assault.
Look, we know that we are in this threshold. We need to stop and destroy this Hydra right when it's still in the egg, you know, without letting it opportunity of this serpent again to broke out and, you know, start growing. This is number one. Second one, we need also, and we see for the recent escalation from Ukrainian side, was basically all NATO countries, which is bordering with Russia, participating in this massive drone attacks on the Russian infrastructure in the Baltic ports near St. Petersburg, where they're coordinating and trying to hit deep inside Russia. So there is a definitely a limit of the patience, a limit of the calling them for the certain normalcy. And this is a typical, you know, British strategy. Let's go and inflict the, death by thousand cuts. But you know what? We have enough immunity in Russia for this. So on certain moment, our leadership would decide, okay, enough is enough. We need definitely start hitting and destroying not only drones over the territory of the Baltic states, over the territory of the Finland, or anything which is coming close to our border, like, for instance, United States or Israel will do, but also start attacking those centers of logistics from where supply goes for Ukraine. We're talking about key strategic ports and airfields in Poland, in the Romania, just to make sure that there is no to cut off supply which going, in Ukraine lavishly, especially since the new Hungarian prime minister, supported and now Europe collectively giving to Ukraine 90 billion euro lifeline, so they at least keep the lights in the house and keep the war till the last Ukrainian. Well, the time frame difficult to predict, and I guess it will depend on the certain things which are going to happen. But for Russia, it's the best time. Think of this. There is not much interceptors left to help Ukraine. They need to restock Israel. We know that they are in a huge shortage, and everybody is running for this. Also, interceptor missile, not only for Patriot, but for the THAAD too. And
Victor,
main,
I'm glad you mentioned this before we take a few calls. I forgot last week, trying to ahead of a ceasefire, as Ukraine always does, NATO does, they launched unprecedented attacks all over Russia. Haven't seen something like that since Operation Spiderweb. So I guess that's what's eliciting Putin to say, okay, we'll go ahead and just end this. That's so transparent to everybody. But meanwhile, they're blowing up all these gas pipelines, refineries that actually supply Europe and contribute to the Strait of Hormuz crisis. So, again, we see the globalists up above it, Larry Fink, the British intel that we know is running what's left of NATO, as they call the Northern Group, where they deliberately want a global depression. So, again, why does Germany follow the rule of the British Empire, of the globalists, to want a depression? Because they're bankers. They can loan unlimited money. That's their instinct to destroy everything, even though it makes them poor at the end of the day because it makes the general public poor. There's nowhere to even spend their money. But they have this instinct of feudalism to crush the people.
Well, you're absolutely right. There is an instinct, you know, guts level. They're just earning to get against the crisis where they can get everything for the pennies on the dollar from those who build it, who put his, time and sweat into this, you know, hard labor. So this is a typical, as I said, capitalism 101. Let's see the next step. Well, in this case, when they're trying to inflict this huge drone attacks to Russia, and of course, any single anti-aircraft system is perfect. Of course, something is also damaged, but it would be quickly repaired. But logic is this one. Why on earth the, let's say, Baltic states or Finland or even Germany interested that the small teeny portions of energy they're still receiving for Russia would be cut off? Because, look, for Russia, it's a very simple decision. Tomorrow, President Putin could decide and cut off all supply of LNG to Europe. And now Russia is maybe second biggest supplier of the LNG gas to Europe. And also cut the pipelines, because Ukrainian cutting these pipelines nevertheless. And think of this, despite the war, the pipeline, which pumping the Russian crude to the Hungary and just several years ago was pumping this to Germany. And just recently, they also cut the Kazakhstan oil from being pumped through this pipeline.
So what we're watching is the EU and NATO throw fits and self-harm and cut their nose off despite their face.
And look, there is a lot of cause in Russia. Why are we even pumping the oil to Hungary? Because we know perfectly well this oil would be refined and then sent back to Ukraine through the different, intermediaries. And this
That's right. Russia is literally supplying Ukraine with the gasoline for its tanks.
Basically, that's how our Russian public now perceive this. And there is a lot of calls to say, hey, why we just don't cut all this relation with Europe, especially there is a lot of calls to shut down, for instance, diplomatic relations with Britain, recall our ambassador, do the same with Germany, warn them last time, and then they don't hear just to
and
go.
Germany and everybody already says within a few years, no more Russian oil or gas. Well, China and India want more than you can even give them. So it's like, It's total idiocy. Let's take a few phone calls. This is absolute insanity. Let's go to Sean in California on Russia relations with the U.S. Straight to Hormuz. You're on the air with Victor Boot. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for having me. I'm basically rephrasing my question from last week when I got cut off. How do we, as Americans, and even as Russians, how do we get the baby boomers to realize Russia is no longer the bad guy? That neocon narrative has failed. And if you'd let me follow up, I do have an idea of a solution where Russia...
Yeah, I'm not screwing your call on air, bro. You're on air. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I would think Russia and Trump could play peacemakers in this. My idea, it might have some pushback, but what if the Ukraine territories were ceded back, to Ukraine? Russia keeps its little port in Crimea, and then they agree to a UN peacekeeping force that monitors the Strait of Hormuz. So the UN gets to feel special, the globalists get to feel special, but we basically do kind of like a swap of the Crimea and pieces of Ukraine for Strait of Hormuz security.
Yeah, that's a great. Well, let me ask you this: idea. What do you see as a way out for Trump to save face? What would be a way to de-escalate it and end what's happening in the Middle East right now? And then what would be optimal and the best thing to do if we had everything we wanted to end this Ukraine war?
Well, there is two points. First of all, talking about Ukrainian war, unfortunately, idea which you just mentioned could be, reasonable, let's say 4 or 5 years ago. But right now we went way beyond this line. First of all, the population and territory we're talking about. Think of this. This is a traditionally and originally Russian territory, which is basically has nothing to do with this, so-called, Ukraine, which was created after collapse of Soviet Union. So this is a plus. Population is there, but definitely don't want to leave a country who would suppress your own language, who destroy your church, who are persecuting your priest, who not letting you.
Bottom line, Russia has already
spilled
a bunch of blood and is committed to the fight now. It's not going to pull back.
Yeah, we cannot pull back. Now we are talking about, you know, getting more territories and joining them to Russia. That's basically how this conflict will end up. Because if Ukraine don't understand peaceful, you know, talks, and we now clearly see their plans is not just to settle politically this talk, because Europe will never let them do so. And then we know perfectly well, Zelensky, just a comedian, an actor, he is a playing role.
He's literally a homosexual prostitute cokehead puppet of the British.
Yeah, crockhead. What are you expecting from him?
He's completely mindless. And he's felt now, sheltered so far, but I don't think that's going to go on too long. Bart in Georgia. Go ahead.
Yeah, since long ago set up a condition where the peace can be settled. There is a certain, you know, to eliminate the root cause of this conflict. And everybody in the Europe and Americans very well know about it. Russia was very deliberate to explain this many times, including all the historical parallels. And now up to them to understand, hey, until this is met, we will not change our position. And Russia will prove that we stand on this position. Now,
well, it's like Putin said 4 years ago. He said, look, since 91, you've expanded our borders. We let you cross red lines. No more crossing. Do you respect us now? And that's just where we are, folks. Let's take another phone call here. Let's talk to Bart in Georgia. Bart, you're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you, Victor. I want to give Trump an F on his handling of the Ukraine war, an F on his Iran war, a D on his economic recovery, and it was a B+, a C on the COVID lockdown. But, you know, one of his biggest failures and broken promises is to stop this war in Ukraine. And Putin put it perfectly in the interview with Tucker Carlson. If we were to cut off the funding to Ukraine, it would be end over in 2 to 3 weeks. Victor, why do you think Trump has failed to cut off this funding? Thank you.
Well, first of all, the way I see the Trump has his limitation. His position as a president has also very strong limits of so-called deep state or so-called, you know, men in the black suits who comes and explain him how the situation run. So, look, yes, in the better or ideal world, Trump could stop this war even quicker because, look, critical intelligence comes from United States. The
United States runs and directs all the smart weapons. Let's be clear. The U.S. is bombing Russia. The U.S. runs it all. Europe doesn't have the satellites. Let's just be clear. All Trump has to forget the funding. Correct. Just cut off the intelligence. It ends in 24 hours.
Yeah, first and second one, if you cut off the Starlink access, then within a couple hours, all combat operation from Ukrainian's side would be stopped. That's it. They can't run it unless there is a Starlink connection going and coordinating and is together with the Palantir, as we know it, you know, system AI using for targeting, coordinating, you know, doing all the decision instead of the humans. So this is where we are. So for Trump, really, if he really honestly want to stop it, on the initial stage, we saw that really he tried maybe, but then eventually globalists, you know, regained control over him. That's why they pushed him in this attack on Iran, unprovoked one. I have very little hope that the Trump really has some, capacity or possibilities to stop it. Though, technically, he has all these three buttons to stop it. That, believe me, within 72 hours, this conflict will be definitely stopped.
Absolutely. Let's go to Lander in South Dakota. You're on the air with Victor Boot. Go ahead, Lander.
Well, the Americans are still learning that the neocons are basically just the intellectual heirs of the Trotskyites. And wasn't it Stalin who took out Trotsky in Mexico?
It was Stalin.
Do the
it was
American
Stalin.
People fair beer?
It was Stalin.
But, that's kind of beside the point. But why is it so intolerable to the globalists for the American people and the Russian people to get along? We would trade. We would be excellent trade partners. We would be the ideal cultural alliance strategically in the world right now. And I think that in the Tucker Carlson interview with Mr. Putin, Putin was kind of just saying it out there that if America traded with Russia, it would culturally orthodox America.
But it's not just that. It's geographically what Russia is in the center of the chessboard in that side of the world. We're here. That's been written about by the Carnegie Endowment for 70, 80 years that would be the ideal thing. That's why it's not allowed. And that's why this Ukraine war has pushed Russia into China's arms, which is the worst possible thing for the United States. And that's why globalists are above this. The Iran war's real target is the West and creating a global depression. Iran is just the cover story for that. Anything else, Lander?
Well, I think that we just absolutely need to foster just alliances and friendship between the Russian people and the American people. We should all get along. We should be able to have a whole Pacific theater of peace, actually. You know,
we should be asking ourselves
the Cold War.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. Putin pointed it out.
Think of this.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, think of this. If Russia and the United States combine its efforts, we definitely can provide the security and make sure that humanity for the, you know, very, very long period of time would doesn't even know what is a war, because it's up to us. And as you said, United States and the Russian Federation is a, you know, allies made by nature. We have nothing to dispute. We have a huge territories. And if we combine our technologies, our capacities, our technological desire for the new adventures, for the new frontiers, that's where we have so much in common, which unites us. You know, our mentality very similar, because we have a vast, you know, which we need to go and really settle to the new frontiers, which
spirit.
We need to develop.
And so we need pioneering and adventure, not total war. We need to reject the globalists. Brian in Idaho, you're on the air with Victor Book. Go ahead, Brian.
Alex, thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom has had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the reason you're so successful, and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war. If you look at the economic numbers, if you look at the actual metrics behind what the AI push is right now, we have no real economy, and we're sustaining that through national security we're either going to build the next prison, the next industrial prison complex, the prison plan that you've described, or it's going to be the biggest bubble that's ever burst.
EU doesn't deny that they're collapsing. Victor, do five more minutes. I know you got to go. I want you to answer Brian's question. Great statement, Brian. Thanks for the support. Yeah, the bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue. There's a big sale in tonight. TheAlexJonesWar.com. I need to plug. You fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. We'll be right back. We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is RealAlexJones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the T-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at TheAlexJonesStore.com is available at RealAlexJones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out. Only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and the Alex Jones.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.